Live on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A, it's time for Q&A with DJ Phone. Today's program is sponsored by Yavapai Regional Medical Center, David Snyder, CPA, High Country Rec Fee Center, Prescott Chamber of Commerce, Northern Arizona Vein Center. Now, here's your host for Q&A, DJ Phone.
And welcome to the Monday edition of Q&A. It's a joyous occasion. The Arizona Cardinals are in the win column, so we know what the weather forecast will be in a certain place down below, don't we? No, a fun game yesterday, won in the last 2 seconds on a field goal after a nice offensive performance from Kyler Murray, David Johnson, Larry Fitzgerald, and everybody else. So it's nice to see Coach Cliff Kingsbury and quarterback Kyler Murray get their very first NFL victories under their belt. It was a hard-earned win, and they will move on. They will play the Atlanta Falcons next Sunday at State Farm Stadium. So we hope their winning streak continues. It's going to be a challenging season, as it always is with a new coach and new quarterback and good things like that. Well, on today's Q&A, we're going to learn a lot because I'm going to chat live from Washington, D.C. with Max Richman. He's the executive director of the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare. Max calls us about once every 6 or 8 weeks to let us know what's going on. His agency works every day with Congress. They lobby hard to protect our hard-earned insurance. Don't call it entitlements, as some would have you believe. Also today, you'll hear my chat recorded just a couple days ago with author David Schiller. He is a complete and total guitar geek. He's written a wonderful, gorgeous coffee table book about his favorite instrument, the guitar, the world's most seductive instrument. And that book contains interviews with 24 of the most iconic guitar masters in the music world and the guitars that made them famous. Anybody who plays the guitar or wants to play the guitar needs that book. What a terrific interview with David Schiller. So you will hear that after the bottom of the hour check of news and weather. Hey, this being Monday, that means tomorrow is Tuesday Night Classics at the Harkins 14 in Prescott Valley and the Harkins 6 in Sedona. And it is a good one. From 1982, An Officer and a Gentleman, starring Richard Gere, Deborah Winger, and Lou Gossett. If I remember correctly, Lou Gossett won the Oscar for Best Supporting Actor as the hard-driving DI that was making a man out of Richard Gere. Now, you may have heard me say a couple of weeks ago when the Harkins was playing the movie Escape from New York that my California roommate and landlord was one of the guest stars in that movie. Well, his wife was a finalist for what became the Deborah Winger role in the movie An Officer and a Gentleman. And after she didn't get that, she got tired of all the rejections in Hollywood, went into the restaurant business where she became quite successful. Tough life being an actor or actress. The odds are always against you. Coming up Wednesday at the Prescott Elks Theater, it'll be Harry Potter and the Chamber of Secrets, one of those movies you have to see on the big screen. You can do so this Wednesday at the Prescott Elks Theater. Speaking of showbiz, we're sad to hear the death of comic Rip Taylor. He always had Johnny Carson in stitches. He'd come on stage and you hear the music going da 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 da, and he'd be throwing confetti everywhere. He was a hoot. He was always just so flamboyant and so self-deprecating with some of the world's worst bad jokes. And then he'd say, oh, come on, you know that's funny. Come on, laugh. He was just a riot. And he also hosted for a couple of years the $1.98 beauty pageant, which was, of course, a Chuck Barris production, since Rip Taylor was also a frequent guest on Chuck Barris's Gong Show. Well, Rip Taylor's real name was Charles Elmer Taylor. He was 84 years old, and he will be missed. You know, the Los Angeles Times reported this morning, you could occasionally see Rip Taylor down on his hands and knees on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, polishing and cleaning his star on the Walk of Fame. Rest in peace, Rip Taylor. Well, with the Cardinals finally in the win column, that makes things a lot better for our sports fans here. And I wonder which baseball team you're rooting for in the playoffs. And we will talk about that toward the end of the show today. In the meantime, by golly, I think we have on the line, we have Max Richman. Max, is that you?
That's me. Thank you.
Boy, is it great to hear your voice, because there's a lot of news coming out of Washington, a lot of conjecture out of Washington, too, about Social Security and Medicare. You, of course, are the leader of the people who are lobbying Congress to protect our hard-earned benefits. So let me ask you this, because we have talked in the past about the high cost of medications. We all know there are appallingly high prices for some, but not all, medications out there. Drugs that can save a person's life or make someone's life a lot better. So the question is this: why are they so high? What can we do to lower them?
Well, they're so high because the government refuses to obtain, if the laws were changed, that would allow them to force drug prices to come down. This entire situation with the skyrocketing cost of drugs has gotten out of hand. We've all seen examples of, particularly with seniors, having to cut their medications in half to stretch them out. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the reason they're so high is the companies can charge whatever they like. In 2003, Medicare was changed and a prescription drug benefit was added. It's called Part D of mm-hmm. Medicare. That was a good thing, way overdue. Unfortunately, in the middle of the night when that bill was working its way through to Congress, the provision was put in that was really tied the hands of the government. That provision specifically prohibits the federal government from negotiating with the pharmaceutical companies for the best price. Now, why on earth would an entity, the government, in this case representing tens of millions of seniors, mm-hmm. say you can decide the price and we're going to allow our hands to be tied and we won't use the leverage of all those people we represent? And consequently, the prescription drug companies, pharmaceutical companies, have not had to negotiate, and they have been able to have free rein over setting the price, and as we know, they are exorbitant. Beyond that, there are, of course, generics that are cheaper, but what happens is that the law, as it is currently structured, allows the pharmaceutical companies various loopholes and techniques that delay generics mm-hmm. For long periods of time from coming to market. And there are proposals in the Congress, legislation that is working its way through that would put an end to that. If we're going to succeed and overcome the strength of the pharmaceutical industry and their minions, we'll have to see.
Max, when you say minions, I'm immediately thinking, as are many of our listeners, that Big Pharma is traditionally a big contributor to politicians. Might that have a lot to do with this?
Well, enormous contributions coming from the pharmaceutical industry directly to campaigns. You can look in the FEC filings and see how much they have contributed across the board for years. And beyond that, they employ dozens and dozens of highly paid lobbyists that are ever present on Capitol Hill. And you know, I'll tell you what is so galling to me when I hear the pharmaceutical industry defend these high prices and claim that they are necessary in order to have the resources to do the research to bring important drugs to market. What about all the money that the pharmaceutical companies spend on advertising? Yeah. I'll bet where you can't watch television for more than about 30 minutes without being bombarded for ads for prescription drugs. I'm told that the pharmaceutical companies spend way more money on advertising yeah. and on lobbying than they do on research. And beyond that, a lot of the basic research that allows the pharmaceutical companies to bring these life-saving drugs to market, that comes from the federal government through the National Institute of Health and other entities of the federal government. So there really isn't a solid argument, I don't believe, that would support these enormous prices we see brought every year. And year to year, they are two, three, four times the rate of inflation, way beyond what is reasonable.
You know, it's funny, Max, you mentioned the advertising, because anybody who watches a national TV newscast is going to get bombarded with prescription drug commercials. So I assume they think everybody watching the national news has a full medicine cabinet. But what I can understand is, with all of this expensive national TV advertising to push brand name pharmaceuticals, they always say, ask your doctor if so-and-so is right for you. Well, your doctor already knows that. And I would think a lot of doctors resent patients coming in saying, hey, I saw this commercial for so-and-so. Shouldn't you be recommending that for me?
Well, you make a very good point. And beyond that, I've seen and listened to many of those commercials. And once they run through the side effects about as quickly as you can speak, you know, I wonder why would you even use a drug that is could harm you in all those ways. But never fact of life, you know, if the commercials didn't work, they wouldn't be using them on television. Mm-hmm. So they obviously are having an impact in encouraging people to request of their doctors these drugs, and the companies are able to sell more drugs and make more money.
So if prescription drug prices were regulated, what would that look like?
Well, you know, We're not really advocating that they be regulated, but we're hoping that there can be some incentive by giving the government, as I mentioned, right now the government specifically is prohibited from negotiating the best price.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we're in a position where the government would set a price, but the government would negotiate for the best price. There are proposals I've seen in the Congress that if a reasonable price can't be achieved, the government would authorize another company to produce those drugs. In addition, I think it's important not in terms of regulating the price, but putting some limit, some reasonable limit. Why are prescription drugs able to rise in price so much higher than the rate of inflation? That doesn't make any sense. So there are reasonable ways of addressing the high cost without actually setting a price. I don't think that's what we're talking about.
Do you think Big Pharma can lower drug prices and still be profitable?
Absolutely. Having the price fit with what's in the best public interest.
Mm-hmm. Do we have any international drug companies that can offer their identical drugs to the Big Pharma ones here legally in this country?
Well, there are proposals, and I think some of them have been promoted by the White House just recently, that would make it legal to re-import drugs from Canada, perhaps other countries that produce drugs that have to go through the same rigorous testing procedures. And right now that is not allowed, but I think that could very well change. It's been an issue, especially in border states like Michigan and Vermont. I know the senators from those states in the past have taken busloads of senators across the border into Canada, where they can buy, for example, insulin at a fraction of the cost that they have to pay in the United States. So I think we're getting to that point. I'm told that a supply of insulin that in the U.S. would cost $300 is about $35 in Canada.
Oh, Sure. Well, let me ask you this. With all the work that you and the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare put into lobbying Congress to defend, you know, what we've paid into all these years, do you find any congressmen or women distracted by political things that are in the news every day that you'd rather they deal with that and get back to work on everyday issues?
Well, the members of Congress that are working on the cost of prescription drugs, I think, are pretty committed to that. I know Speaker Pelosi has put a proposal on the table. Her staff has been meeting with the White House staff. Despite all of the things happening in Washington, and I'm sure you're aware there are quite a few distractions these days, I still think it's possible to accomplish things that are in the best interest of the people, and one of those would be addressing the high cost of prescription drugs. Mm-hmm. I think so many candidates that ran for Congress and won in the midterm elections in 2018, one of the key issues they committed to addressing was the high cost of prescription drugs. And, you know, they all have to be run for re-election in,
oh, yeah,
in what, about 13 months.
Mm-hmm.
So they need to produce, and I'm hopeful that they will.
Now, given the incredibly high cost of research to come up with these prescription drugs, how do they manage to put taxpayers on the hook for those costs?
Well, that's what I was trying to get into a few minutes ago. The federal government, through the National Institute of Health, is able to fund a significant part of the basic research that the companies, the pharmaceutical companies, use in producing drugs that are so important to the health and survival of American citizens. So, you have to scratch your head when you look at the arguments from the pharmaceutical companies, because here we have the federal government helping fund the research. And what is who's funding the federal government? The taxpayers.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying those same taxpayers on the other end are having to come up with an enormous amount that is necessary to buy these prescription drugs. So we're paying for it on both ends, and that's not right.
Max, with some of the stuff we're hearing politically about what's coming up in November 2020, we keep hearing little arguments about, well, they may go after Social Security and Medicare. What are you picking up in Washington?
Well, what I'm picking up is there is building momentum for improving both programs. Hopefully it can survive all of the turmoil and distractions that we're faced with in Washington. But in terms of Medicare, there's a lot of support. I don't know if we'll get an actual change in law, but we may move close, and maybe we'll actually get some improvements in terms of benefits that are not included in Medicare. You know, Medicare is a terrific program. I doubt that you'll meet a beneficiary who will say, oh, I don't really need my Medicare. I don't care about Medicare. It's important to them.
Mm-hmm.
But it has serious gaps. It doesn't cover vision. It doesn't cover dental. It doesn't cover hearing. Those are pretty darn important.
Yeah.
And there are bills in the Congress that would begin to add some benefits dealing with those items that I just mentioned. I think it's possible. In terms of Social Security, there's a bill that we endorse. It's called the Social Security 2100 Act.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's H.R. 860, Congressman John Larson, Connecticut, who heads up the Social Security Subcommittee of the Ways and Means Committee. Has I think he's got 213 or 214 co-sponsors. It's a bill that would extend the life of the program for the rest of this century. That's why it's called the Social Security 2100 Act.
Uh-huh.
It would improve benefits, improve the minimum benefit. It would have a cost of living adjustment that is not only more generous, but is actually based on more accurate measures of inflation as it impacts an older person, which is not the case today. And COLAs are so important to making sure beneficiaries don't fall behind just because of inflation. Mm-hmm. So we're hoping that that bill will get a vote in the House of Representatives before the holidays this year, and then try to move it in the Senate. So, you know, we are hopeful. We're always optimistic about improving these programs.
Max, again on Social Security, a couple days ago in USA Today, in the money section, they reprinted a column by Robert Powell, who is the editor of The Streets Retirement Daily. And he proposed three questions about Social Security that people often don't talk about. The first one has to do with learn about survivor's benefits. How important is that for a married couple?
Absolutely. You know, So many younger people, particularly, have bought into the myths, the many myths about Social Security, that it's bankrupt, it won't be there. I've seen studies where especially younger people believe they're more likely to see a UFO or see Bigfoot than to ever get a Social Security check, and that's simply not true. The problem is sound. If the law that I just, the legislation I mentioned is passed, it will be able to pay full benefits for the rest of the century. But to your point, Social Security is not just retirement for older people. It's insurance for families. Mm-hmm. You mentioned survivor benefits. A third of Social Security benefits go to non-retired people, survivors, spouses, children. I think about 4 million children get by in life because Social Security is there for them in the event that a working parent becomes disabled or dies young. Here's a statistic that I hope people will, that are listening will pay attention to. As an example, a 27-year-old worker today with a spouse and 2 children, never mind what happens when they reach retirement age, whenever that is, 65, 66, or 67 for them. But right now, they have about $500,000 in value of life and disability insurance in the event they need it. Mm-hmm. And often, I've run into people who had a disaster in their family. Someone became a breadwinner, became disabled, or died young, and finally someone said to them, well, you should check with Social Security, and all of a sudden they have that lifeline. So remember, FICA, that's the acronym for the withholding of mm-hmm. payroll tax. It's Federal Insurance Contribution Act. By paying that with every paycheck, people, workers, are buying insurance for old age, survivor, and disability. It's an important thing to keep in mind.
Mm-hmm. In this state of Arizona where we are here, we are falling behind on driver's licenses that are part of the Real ID program that goes into effect in October of next year. When I went to get mine updated last week, fortunately, I still had my original Social Security card, which is what they ask for. If someone does not have their actual Social Security card, can they go to the Social Security office to get it, or should they go online?
Well, if it were me, I would go to the office just to have the transaction take place right there. If you're familiar enough with doing things online, I guess that's a possibility. But personally, I would like to have the interaction and actually get the replacement card from the Social Security office. Anyone who's often gone to Social Security knows that they're stretched thin, they're overworked, they're understaffed. That's not getting any better. As an aside, I would point out that we have been doing our level best, and I've testified before the Congress to add funding for the Social Security Administration. Mm-hmm. We've budget after budget that's come out of the White House has sought to reduce or not expand the funding for Social Security. beyond inflation, in fact, reduce it. And that's why, I know that's in the question you asked, but that's why lines are long. That's why waiting on someone to answer the phone takes forever. And we're hoping that we can get some money. We were successful in the last few years in getting Congress to add money that was not requested by the administration. Hopefully they'll do that again.
And we'll close the interview with one lighthearted yet serious question for you, Max. Whenever you get your Social Security card, or at least when I did many decades ago, it always said, do not laminate. Why is that?
You know, your guess is as good as mine. I've never laminated mine, and it's pretty tattered by now.
Yeah,
yours
mine
is too. I'm sure if you've had it that long. I don't know why, but you know, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, but I've gotten lately quite a few phone calls claiming to be from Social Security.
Yes, us too.
And my benefits are about to be reduced or impacted negatively, and I hang up.
Yeah.
Because one thing you can know for sure, Social Security will never call you about anything. Any communication from Social Security is not done by phone.
Yeah.
And if anybody gets a call from Social Security saying we need to talk to you about your benefits, which are about to be negatively impacted, my advice is hang up.
And if the real Social Security is interested in you for any reason, they will send you a letter with a reference number, correct?
Absolutely. They're not going to call you. And those scams, those phone call scams, are an effort to get your vital information, like your Social Security number, and misuse it. So beware.
Max, we're always grateful for you staying late. It's almost 5:30 now in the Beltway. We always learn so much from your calls. We thank you so much for today's chat, and we look forward to our next one coming up probably in a couple of months.
Thank you so much, DJ.
Always a pleasure. That's Max Richmond from the National Committee to Preserve Social Security and Medicare. Hey, we've got a lot more to go on today's Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities. 11:30 a.m., 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood. And we stream live around the world at kqna.com.
Membership in the Prescott Chamber of Commerce is good for your business. As a member, your business will be listed on the Prescott Chamber website and in the Chamber's annual directory. You're also eligible to place brochures in the Chamber's lobby and opportunities galore to network with other business people at monthly mixers and other events. Join the Prescott Chamber today at 445-2000. Prescott's business advocate, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce.
Load up the RV and hit the open road. To the repair shop? Now that's not my idea of a fun trip, and it sure isn't convenient. So let High Country Rec Bee Center come to you. Mobile service is just one of their specialties. They'll even troubleshoot for you over the phone, so you're not paying for unnecessary parts and repairs. And they're an authorized warranty and service center for all the major RV appliance manufacturers and extended warranty work. So to schedule service or just ask them a question, call them at 772-8231 or online at hicountryrvcenter.com.
Hey, y'all, it's Rosie. Welcome to the broadcast. Every Arizona homeowner's best friend.
Arizona could not survive without water. Thanks to the 336-mile system known as the Central Arizona Project, it delivers water to serve communities and industries. We'll examine how it's managed. Our tree of the month, tips from the pros about electricity, and your home improvement questions. So drop on in at our house.
Rosie on the House, Saturday morning, 9 to 11 on 95.5, 99.9, and AM 1130, KQNA.
Hey everybody, it's Sanford Cohen. Join me along with Mike and the Doctor every Friday afternoon at 4 for Let's Talk Sports right here on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Tune in for all the latest sports news, interviews, and all kinds of fun stuff. It's right here on KQ&A. See you Friday.
Hi. I'm Adam Gettle.
And I'm Ted Gettle.
We're the Gettle brothers from Gettle's High Desert Mechanical.
Seems like everybody's talking about pricing and not enough about quality.
Yeah, do you go to the brain surgeon that gives you the best deal or the one that does the best job?
Well, heating, air conditioning, and plumbing isn't brain surgery.
Oh, yeah? Have you looked inside a furnace lately?
Oh, brother.
That's me.
Excellent workmanship at a fair price with Gettle's High Desert Mechanical. Call 772-2751. Don't settle. Get Gettle's. 772-2751.
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
In just a couple minutes, we'll take a break for state and local news and weather. Then we'll hear my interview with David Schiller, who wrote the book, The Guitar, The History of the World's Most Seductive Instrument. In the meantime, just last week, it was Banned Books Week by the American Library Association. They tracked 347 documented challenges to library, school, and university materials and services last year. And of the 483 books challenged or banned, they found the top 11 most challenged, along with this reasoning, to be: the number one most challenged book was George by Alex Gino. The reason is for encouraging children to clear their browser history, for mentioning male anatomy, for creating confusion, and including a transgender character. The number two book on the list, A Day in the Life of Marlon Bundo by Jill Twiss. Reasons challenged for including LGBTQ and content, and for political and religious viewpoints. Number three, the Captain Underpants series was challenged for, quote, encouraging disrupting behavior. And one book in the series, Captain Underpants and the Sensational Saga of Sir Stinks-a-Lot, was specifically challenged for including a same-sex couple. The number four book on the list, The Hate U Give by Angie Thomas, was challenged for being anti-police and for profanity, drug use, and sexual references. And number five was the book Drama, written and illustrated by Raina Tegmeyer. Reasons challenged for including, there it is again, LGBTQ characters and themes. Well, if that bothered them, they better not watch the next Batman movie coming out. I'm sorry, it's about Catwoman, because in this Catwoman, she has a wife. So we will see how they respond to that. Stay tuned, because we've got we have state and local news coming up, followed by a chat with David Schiller about everyone's favorite instrument, the guitar. Coming up on Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, and we stream live around the world at kqna.com. Take advantage of your golden years. These are the times to reflect, relax, have a lot of fun. Country Bank's home equity conversion mortgage, known as a reverse mortgage, could be your supplemental option. Suzanne Cosley, the reverse mortgage specialist at Country Bank, can show you how to convert a portion of your home equity into tax-free money.
Come by and see me, Suzanne Cosley at Country Bank, or call me at 928-583-9015.
Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
We're told that staying in the moment is one path to a happy life. The Breast Care Center at Yavapai Regional Medical Center is here to help you on that journey. Rest assured that when it comes to your breast health, YRMC's Breast Care Center sets the standard of excellence in our community. What does that mean to you? It means state-of-the-art screening technology, exceptional and experienced providers, a compassionate and supportive team. And if you need it, YRMC's Breast Care Center is ready with the most advanced diagnostic studies and customized treatment options. Staying in the moment. Inspired by you.
We'll be right back. Health is Wealth, the talk show on KQNA, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM, and 95.5 FM. Health is Wealth will bring you education and information on supplementation and vitamins by world-class educators. On Health is Wealth, you may also hear information and education on alternative and natural approaches to health by local practitioners and health professionals. Topics may range from A to Z for a healthy and wealthy life. Tune in every Saturday at 12:30 p.m. Sponsored by Yavapai Home and Land Services, LLC.
Prescott Center for the Arts celebrates October with Tales of the Dead, or Nearly Dead. Our main stage presentation is a wickedly theatrical production of Bram Stoker's famous vampire, Dracula. For Halloween, we offer the Ghost Talk Experience, a walking tour of bone-chilling tales at our historic theater. Dracula runs from October 24th through November 3rd. Ghost Talk runs from October 25th through November 2nd. Tickets and information are available at pca-az.net.
Listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
And we'll have that news and weather coming up in just a moment. In the meantime, which baseball team are you rooting for in the playoffs? Of course, the Diamondbacks won't be in it this year, despite a surprisingly good record after losing four key players at the start of the season. Well, you know, the Yankees are playing the Twins. Everybody favors the Yankees. They won the first two games. I'm kind of rooting for the Twins, if only for one reason, and this is the little devil on my shoulder explaining this. The Twins in Minneapolis, you know what happens to Minneapolis weather-wise as it gets late into the season, they have an outdoor stadium. And the World Series now runs all the way to the end of October, possibly even to early November. I'm kind of curious what a World Series game outdoors in Minneapolis might be like in early November. I guess I'm just being a little bit of a rebel there. Also on the National League side, the Dodgers, of course, are running roughshod over the Washington Nationals. The St. Louis Cardinals and Atlanta Braves series looked pretty close, but the Braves pulled a stunner yesterday. Boy, they had a tremendous pitching performance from the Cardinals. Adam Wainwright gone completely to waste. Carlos Martinez came in, the closer, completely blew the game. And the hero of that game was Dansby Swanson for the Braves. If that name sounds familiar, he was the Diamondbacks' number one overall draft pick in the entry draft about 5 years ago. He was part of a trade to the Braves that brought us, are you ready? Shelby Miller. That name will live on in infamy. Time now, I promise, for state and local news and weather on Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities. 1130 AM, 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood. Streaming live at KQNA.com.
James Roush here of Wallach & Volk Mortgage. Are you interested in buying a home and just have a million questions running through your head? The James Roush team at Wallach & Volk Mortgage is here 24 hours a day, 7 days a week by appointment. Even if you need to meet on Saturday morning because of your work schedule, we'll be there. Call the James Roush team at 445-8730, Wallach & Volk Mortgage.
License number 00128295, LNS number 162209, Equal Opportunity Lender.
Looking for the perfect spot to hold your next meeting, seminar, company party, wedding, or family gathering? Then the perfect spot for you is the Event Spot. Their 4,000 square foot facility with 200 plus parking spaces is the Quad City's choice to celebrate and gather. Centrally located in Prescott Valley, the Event Spot is complete with a catering kitchen, Wi-Fi, and even technology for live conferencing on large screens. And if you need help with planning, ask about their preferred vendor list. The Event Spot. You bring the event, they provide the spot. Visit eventspotaz.com for more information.
The Bolleri Professional Building, home to Prescott's premier high-tech business suites, located right in the heart of downtown Prescott. Bolleri Business Suites feature high-speed internet, covered parking, and a climate-controlled environment designed for business, medical, legal, and most any general office purpose. New one-year leases available with one additional month free. Call 445-7191 or go to BolleriProfessionalBuilding.com for more information. The Bolleri Professional Building, Prescott's business address.
This is America, where football means football.
Oh, man!
Arizona Cardinals football is live on AM 1130, 99.9 FM and 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQNA. Brought to you by Country Bank, A&E Repro Graphics, Barrett Propane, Northern Arizona Air, Lucky's in Yavapai Casino, R.E.D. Plumbing, Primavera Online High School, UAC to me, and the Prescott Resort. The Cardinals host the Atlanta Falcons Sunday at noon on AM 1130 by 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM, Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQNA.
ADP isn't just in the payroll business. We're in the people business, helping companies find them, train them, and empower them by clearing the way for them to do their best work. Because when your people thrive, your business thrives with them. HR, talent, time, benefits, and payroll. Informed by data and designed for people, so you and your company can achieve what you're working for. Learn more at design.adp.com.
The talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A.
Thanks for making the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A, your choice for your Monday the 7th. I'm DJ Phone with a check of local and state news and weather together. Brought to you by Wallach and Volk. A groundbreaking is set for 4:30 this afternoon for the new Thunderbird School of Global Management headquarters.
Located on ASU's downtown Phoenix campus, the state-of-the-art facility will feature an open design that will integrate meeting rooms, study space, a large event venue, and flexible areas. The five-story building is scheduled to be completed by the fall semester of 2021. Steve Clausen, Arizona News Radio.
If you haven't registered to vote in the November 5th general election, you only have until 5 o'clock tonight.
Visit the Yavapai County Recorder's Office on Fair Street in Prescott or on South 6th Street in Cottonwood. Voters are reminded to sign their affidavit envelope in their original handwriting before dropping their ballot off. Early voting in person starts Wednesday as well from 8 to 5 p.m. at the County Recorder's Office. I'm Gregory Scott reporting.
Sunny, dry, and warm today through Wednesday. A big chill arrives Thursday with highs in Prescott, Prescott Valley, Chino Valley, and Dewey-Humboldt. Around 79 today and tomorrow. A very windy 74 Wednesday, blowing in Thursday's high of only 65. Chilling after bedtime tonight to about 50 under clear skies. In Cottonwood and the Verde Valley, up to a sunny 89 today and Tuesday. A very windy 84 Wednesday. Thursday's high only 75. An overnight low around 55 tonight. This news and weather, a service of Wallach and Volk. I'm DJ Phone on the Talk of the Quad Cities. 1130 AM, 99.9 and 95.5 FM, KQNA. Like us on Facebook and listen live worldwide at KQNA.com and stay tuned. Q&A will continue in just a moment.
Listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
Welcome back to Q&A. Well, everybody loves the guitar. It's the instrument that forever changed music and people's relationship to playing music, and it's still evolving. Well, in his brand new book, Guitar, the World's Most Seductive Instrument, A History, author David Schiller drives the point home and celebrates this astounding instrument. The guitar has made some of the most legendary, beloved rock ballads possible, from Paul McCartney's Blackbird to November Rain by Guns N' Roses. It's been smashed by icons such as Prince, who broke the neck off his Yellow Cloud guitar while at a French TV show in 1994. And, of course, Jimi Hendrix, who set his Black Pepper Fender Stratocaster guitar on fire at the Monterey Pop Festival in 1967. Now the new book, Guitar, the World's Most Seductive Instrument, by David Schiller, is a glorious celebration of 200 of these iconic instruments and the people who made them famous. The guitar is a true labor of love, beginning in a guitar store on Bleecker Street in Greenwich Village. Schiller, accompanied by a photo researcher, traveled far and wide to study and photograph hundreds of guitars, visiting shops, collectors' offices, museums, festivals, factories, and artisan workshops around the country and all over the world. From pursuing great photo collections to tracking rare images in far-flung museums, Schiller worked tirelessly to capture the personalities, individual styles, and voices of his favorite instrument, complete with a hardcover slipcase and a die-cut edge that reveals three tuning keys of the spectacular Art Deco-influenced headstock of a John DeAngelico New Yorker acoustic. This book is punctuated by profiles of 24 legendary guitarists, ranging from Delta Blues legend Robert Johnson to Joni Mitchell to Django Reinhardt to Bonnie Raitt, each of which is paired with a photograph of the musician's own guitar or one emblematic of the type they favored. Groundbreaking instruments that ushered in the electric guitar, such as Rickenbacker's Frying Pan and Les Paul's Log, are also featured, along with many of the world's most celebrated players and the guitars, including Eric Clapton's Stratocaster Brownie, a sleek, curvy, contour guitar that's probably the most played, popular, and copied electric guitar ever. Also, Willie Nelson's Trigger, the Martin N20 that Nelson named after Roy Rogers' horse. Don't forget the J160E that John Lennon used to record Love Me Do. Jimi Hendrix's hand-painted 1967 Gibson Flying V in full psychedelic regalia, and the Far Out Glitter, a no-body, no-peghead guitar that's manufactured entirely from aircraft-grade titanium. David, take me back to some days back when you were working in a music store.
I certainly spent a lot of time visiting music stores and talking to people there and getting learning about guitars and picking them up and playing them, and starts a lot of the passion for it starts there.
And what prompted you to write a book about the guitar?
I think it was like I grew up at a time when the guitar was the instrument, the music that it created, the Beatles and the Rolling Stones and Prince and Hendrix and Frank Zappa and on and on and on. And everybody I knew was obsessed with that music, wanted to play the guitar. I wanted to play the guitar, and, you know, we all did. And but as a writer, I also became really interested in the guitar itself as an object. And how did we get here? Why are there so many of them? Why are they all look different? Why do we feel about them the way we do? And I went down that rabbit hole.
Let me correct my first question to you. Your book story starts in a guitar store on Bleecker Street, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. There was a great, you know, in the heart of the Greenwich Village in New York, there was a great store called Matt Umanoff Guitars. Sadly, it's now out of business. He's closed. But it was the heart of the village and the heart of the guitar boom and the folk boom, and everybody went there. And, you know, and when I started to get interested in writing a book, that was my first stop.
This is not only a coffee table book, but describe the slipcase and the cover.
Yes, it was. I'm really happy with how it was designed. The designer was brilliant. And the slipcase feels like a guitar case. It's kind of nubby. It's black, like a Tolex case. It has the word guitar and mother of pearl, like a fake mother of pearl shine to it. You slip the book out of the case, like you take a guitar out of a guitar case, and there's the book itself and the heads, on the cover is just a headstock of a beautiful DeAngelico New Yorker from the 40s. DeAngelico was a foremost jazz guitar builder. He worked out of a shop in the Lower East Side studio. And then you open the book and the end papers are bright pink, like a Gibson guitar case. You open a Gibson guitar case and nestled in there, the guitar's nestled in bright pink plush. And then it's hundreds of guitars. It's like going into a guitar store, like the best guitar store in the world. And you just see one after another and learn all about them.
And on that point, what are some of the unique guitars you talk about and some of the celebrity guitars you talk about in your book?
Well, some of the unique ones are right away. The first page was another DeAngelico built in a teardrop shape. It was a one of a kind. He built it for a jazz guitarist who wanted something special and kind of to stand out in the nightclub. It disappeared for decades and turned up one day in Staten Island, and the collector bought it that day for $150,000. He later said it was one of the most powerful guitars he'd ever played. And then turn the page, and there's a guitar that Brian May from Queen, he built when he was a teenager with his father. That guitar, Red Special, is known around the world. We've all heard that guitar being played. It's completely unique. And then the next page is the guitar that Eddie Van Halen built himself when he was just different parts. They called it the Frankenstrat because he took a part from this guitar, a part from that guitar, and pushed them together. You know, there's the Stratocaster that Eric Clapton played called Brownie. He later sold for charity, for his charity, Crossroads Charity. I think it fetched $800,000+.
Whoa.
You can see the burn marks on the headstock. You know, when he was playing Layla, he might have stuck a cigarette there behind the strings and he started, you know, playing. Forgot about it. The cigarette burned down. And you look at that picture and you can see the you know, the burn marks on the headstock, you know.
And in your book, you call the guitar the people's instrument. Why is that?
You know, I like that term because I think the thing about the guitar, and so many people have the same experience, you don't need to know much about music. You need to, you know, you love it, you hear it, but you don't need to know to read how to read music or study it. But you can pick up a guitar and very, very, very quickly, you know, maybe an hour, a couple of hours, you can start playing chords. You can start strumming. You can noodle around. Suddenly, within no time, you can learn, say, the three chords, and there are a million songs written with just three chords, and it goes from there. And you can play any kind of music on it, and it's so personal, too. It's you just hold it, carry it around with you, and you know, it becomes your instrument very, very, very quickly.
Now, you've got profiles of 24 legendary guitarists in your book. So I have to ask you, are there artists you'd recommend for new and seasoned guitarists to listen to?
Yeah, I'd have we've heard most of the music from most of the guitarists in the book, but there's a young guitarist, her name is Saint Vincent, and I profile her because she's just really interesting. Her music is, it's like she's taking the guitar to a different place. And she also was reached, the company Ernie Ball Music Man reached out to her, and she designed a signature guitar, a Saint Vincent guitar, which is pretty much unlike anything else. And she has great reasons for the choices she made. I think she's an amazing guitar player, and hope people listen to her.
Now, the subtitle of your book, The Guitar, is the world's most seductive instrument. How many times have you heard guitarists say, "I started playing the guitar to get girls"?
We don't talk about it. It's absolutely true.
Yeah.
It's just, it helps, you know. It's hard to, sometimes it's hard when you're a kid to talk to girls, or girls to talk to boys for that matter. But you can pick up a guitar and you can kind of feel cool. If you learn a song or two, suddenly you're moving along.
Yep.
You know, you're moving in the right direction.
And you can say things in a song you can't say face to face, right?
You not only can say them, but you can actually have them felt.
There you are.
And that's the brilliant part of music. You can make yourself felt. And most of us can't do that with words.
Yeah.
Most of us have a hard time doing that with words. And suddenly music is a beautiful shortcut. It's a beautiful way to express yourself.
Your new book is The Guitar, The World's Most Seductive Instrument, A History. You've also written The Little Zen Companion, The Little Book of Prayers, and See Your Way to Mindfulness. How can our listeners learn more about you, get a copy of The Guitar, and your other books?
You know, the best way, the easiest way, is to go to the publisher. It's all published with the same company. It's called Workman. And go to workman.com and search for David Schiller, and all the books are there, including the new book. The new book went on sale yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find it on Amazon. You can find it in Barnes & Noble, in local bookstores, gift stores. Hopefully some guitar shops will start picking it up.
And one last question for you. Who are you listening to? Which guitarists are you listening to these days?
It depends on the day, but lately I've been listening to Bill Frisell. He's a really accessible jazz guitarist. He takes old great songs like I Heard It Through the Grapevine or Shenandoah, and he does versions that are just so poetic and melodic, and some days I just want to listen to him.
The author is David Schiller. The book is The Guitar, The World's Most Seductive Instrument, A History. Thanks for joining us today on Q&A. Continued success in your playing and your publishing.
Oh, thank you so much. My pleasure.
Would you call your doctor to fix a leaky pipe? How about a mechanic to cater a meal? Would you hire a barber to watch your dogs? Of course not. You need the right person for the right job. So who do you call to help you reach your financial goals? Hi, I'm John Dombrowski, president of Grand Canyon Planning Associates and host of The Word on Wealth. I've been assisting my clients for over 25 years with their financial, estate, and tax planning needs, and I can help you as well. So if you want to reach a comfortable retirement, don't call your doctor, mechanic, or barber. Call me at 480-991-1055 or visit us online at GrandCanyonPlanning.com. For a complimentary consultation, call 480-991-1055. I'm John Dombrowski reminding you, don't run out of money before you run out of time.
Securities and advisory services offered through Client One Securities LLC, a member of FINRA and SIPC, and an investment advisor. Grand Canyon Planning Associates LLC and Client One Securities LLC are not affiliated.
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
Well, if you haven't been to the Harkins Theaters yet to see either Joker or Judy or Linda Ronstadt, The Sound of My Voice, you owe it to yourself to see at least one, possibly two. I'd like to see all three of them, actually. And then starting this coming weekend, they'll have two new movies, actually three. They will have the new Will Smith film, Gemini Man, which features Will Smith de-aged as a 25-year-old and as he is today in his early 50s, also a cartoon animated version of the Addams Family. And speaking of de-aging, the new Martin Scorsese film, The Irishman, starring Robert De Niro, Al Pacino, Joe Pesci, and Ray Romano, will be 3.5 hours long and also feature de-aging of the stars on screen. Stay tuned now for Ben Shapiro at 3, followed by Talk of the Town, Chino Valley. Join me back here tomorrow with my guest Nicole Galter from the Grand Canyon Railway for the Pumpkin Patch Train. That's Q&A Tuesday at 2, when I'll see you on the radio.
Been listening to Q&A on KQ&A. Today's show was sponsored by Yavapai Regional Medical Center, Northern Arizona Vein Center, Prescott Chamber of Commerce, High Country Rec V Center, and David Snyder, CPA. The views expressed on today's show do not necessarily reflect the views of KQ&A, Prescott Valley Broadcasting, our employees, or our advertisers. Join us next time for Q&A with DJ Phone on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 a.m. and 99.9 FM Prescott, and at 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A.